Good morning, this is Pastor Leah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God calls us by name into the presence of holiness as God's holy people. We answer this call by the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Beloved of God, the winter is past. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. Let us lift our voices in praise to our Creator. Come, let us worship God. For our prayer of the day, let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess, repent, and trust God to forgive us our sin. Let us pray. Lord, we marvel at the thought of a well-fitted yoke, a burden scale to match our frames. We do not know how to rest in the promise of such labor. Some of us are weary from unceasing responsibility. Others find no welcome in the marketplace. And we all carry anxiety about the future, for us and our families, for our friends and neighbors, and for our nation. Forgive our blind striving, our stifled concern, and the judgments we cast on others. Make yourself known to us in the silence as we open our hearts to confess to you our sin. Amen. O Lord, shape your children for the commonwealth of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, whose name is I Am, provides for our weakness. Jesus Christ, the great I Am in the body, gave himself for our salvation. All who are united to Christ in his death are united to Christ in his resurrection. I declare to you now, my friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, your sin is forgiven. You have been freed for service in his name. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the second chapter of the Song of Solomon, beginning with the 8th verse through the 14th verse. Listen, my beloved, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands, behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peeping through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you wish to stand for the reading of the gospel, I invite you to do so now. I shall read to you the gospel acclamation. Hallelujah! Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed these things to infants. Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Gospel is written in the 11th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, beginning with the 25th verse and continuing through the 30th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And as I continue with this service, I do want to apologize. My stuffy headedness of last week has turned into a croaky throat, so I apologize for the way I'm sure I sound to you. Let us pray. Merciful God, in this moment of stillness, wash us clean of our presumptions. Receive us as your weary children. Then, by the power of your Spirit, bless us with a word that revives, for we pray in the name of Jesus, your living word. Amen. Our sermon comes from our text of the Song of Solomon. Have you heard about the farmer who went to a government bureaucrat specializing in animal health? The farmer sought help from the expert because 10 of his chickens had suddenly died. The government expert instructed the farmer to give aspirin to all the surviving chickens. 10 days later, however, the farmer returned. 20 more chickens had died. What should he do now? The expert said quickly, give all the rest castor oil. 2 days later after that, the farmer returned a third time and reported 30 more dead chickens. The government expert now strongly recommended penicillin. 2 days after that, a sad farmer showed up. All the rest of the chickens had now died. They were all gone. And what does the expert say? What a shame! I have lots more remedies. Lots more remedies. Some of us are inwardly rather proud that we have so much to do. That just means we're important. Some of us wouldn't know what to do if we didn't stay busy. And some of us stay busy so that we don't have to deal with the realities of life. And at some point, just about everyone feels overwhelmed with stress from time to time. A mental health foundation in the United Kingdom ran a poll on the effects of stress. Respondents to the poll said that overwhelming feelings of stress led them to overeat, drink, and smoke. People reported that stress helped make them feel depressed, anxious, alone, even suicidal. Unrelieved stress is a common condition. We all need healthy techniques for dealing with it. Those techniques may be sublime or they may be a little ridiculous. Another young woman says that she plays videos at night as she goes to bed, and the videos are of people listening to and reading scripture. And one woman responded to that by saying, "Watching the videos makes my head stop rushing around for a bit." Another fan says, "I think there's a lot of aspects into our daily life that seem chaotic, so watching something in a state of order is relaxing." This seems like a harmless, if somewhat strange, way to deal with stress, but it doesn't tackle the deeper problems in our life that cause us to feel out of control in the first place. And that's our topic for today, dealing with stress. We all want to find happiness and contentment and freedom of stress. Happiness is in the present. Most of us would agree with that, but many of us do not live like that. All too often, many of us describe our lives as busy, hectic, and even crazy. That seems to be the norm. No one has any time anymore. No one gets any rest. Finish this sentence for me, please. I will sleep when I... What? You will win. I will sleep when I have finished fixing this. When I'm through folding the laundry. When I get this report completed. When I'm through with my nightly routine. When I figure out how to solve this crazy puzzle. When what? Too many of us let and even create our schedules to be chock full of things to do. I don't know about you, but when my calendar and responsibilities get to be too much, I get overwhelmed and anxious and just plain weary. And the opposite is true. One of the serious issues that we who are retired must deal with is depression. Suddenly having so much time on our hands and not scheduled things to do, we don't know what to do. Or we miss being important like we were when we were working. Or suddenly we have no goals. Nothing that must be achieved by Friday. We are no longer needed. Our existence can seem to have become purposeless, and we too get weary. In our Bible passage today, Jesus challenges the people around him with these words, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is saying to us that weariness is not meant to be our natural way of living. That's not what God created us for. In fact, no matter how productive our out-of-control schedule makes us feel, it is actually living in harmony with the rhythms of life that contributes to peace, clarity, and purposeful living. Weariness and burdens blind us to the true purpose of our lives and bind us with a sense of powerlessness. They isolate us. When you are weary and burdened, your focus narrows to what is right in front of you, to what is urgent instead of what is important. This behavior is the norm in our culture, so we don't question it. That's just the way life is. Except that Jesus says it isn't the way things are meant to be. So what did Jesus mean by rest for our souls? I read recently about another group devoted to giving us rest. However, this one's a business. In 2005, a store called Minneapolis, which is spelled with the center letters NAP in all caps, so I guess you would really pronounce it Minneapolis, for 70 cents a minute, tired shoppers can rent a soundproof room for napping. The rooms have special themes, like deep space, Asian mist, and tropical isle. Or if you don't feel like napping, you can sit in the store's massage chair, gaze at a waterfall, listen to soft music, and breathe in the positive, ionized, filtered air. The owners of the store advertise it as an enjoyable escape from the fast-paced lifestyle. Some people probably find that helpful. However, rest for our souls is not the same as a nap or a vacation or breathing in positive ionized filtered air while gazing at a fake waterfall. It is not a temporary respite from our stress. Rest for our souls is a reorientation of our values and perceptions of life to match up with the values and perceptions of God, the one who created us, the source of our soul. Listen to Jesus' words again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Think about those important words for just a few moments. The first thing Jesus is saying to us is, you have a soul. Or to be more accurate, you are a soul. Have you stopped to think about that lately? You are not a random collection of cells. You are not the sum of your current circumstances. You are a work of art made in the image of God. You have the imprint of the eternal, all-powerful God Almighty within you. Your soul is a mark of God's abundant love for you. It marks you as incredibly valuable in God's eyes, which leads us to a question: how are you experiencing life the way God meant you to experience it? And even more fundamentally, are you experiencing life the way God meant you to experience it? Or do you feel weary and burdened because you are living in a way that is disconnected from your soul? In recent weeks, nay, recent months, we have been and have lived in a world where many of us have been disconnected with our, quote, normal, unquote, lives. We have been in our homes, and that has become weary. Staying inside, not going out, as much as we love our family and rejoice in being home, is not always a place where we can rest. Matt Jaffe was a young, successful businessman working for a Fortune 500 company. In his mid-30s, he began to realize that he was not fulfilled in his work. He was neglecting his family. He felt disconnected from any greater purpose in his life. Every morning, Mac's wife would drive him to the train station for his two-hour commute into New York City. Their one-year-old daughter slept in the back seat on the way to the station. Mac worried that he rarely saw his daughter when she was awake, and his wife was practically a single parent. His success at work wasn't making a meaningful difference in the world. His life was so hectic, he barely had time to think. But all of Mac's colleagues and friends lived like this too. Who was he to think that life could be any different? Then it happened. One morning, Mac decided that he would stay home and eat breakfast with his wife and daughter and take the late train to work. To him, this was a huge sacrifice. All of his colleagues came in early and stayed late, and he couldn't afford to stand out and be different from the rest of the crew. But he was just so tired of being controlled by his job and missing out on his family. That morning, Mac and his wife and daughter had a great time eating breakfast together and chatting about their week. Before he took the late train to the office, Mac got a great big sloppy kiss from his little daughter, and a tender kiss from his wife. He felt so peaceful and blessed to have spent this time with his family. Now, because of this one decision to reconnect with his family, Mac Jaffe was not in his office, which was at the North Tower of the World Trade Center. And this all happened on September the 11th, 2001, when the first airplane slammed into the building. His life was spared by a simple decision one morning to spend some time with his family. Mac Jaffe has written a book about the tragedy of losing his friends and colleagues in the September 11 attacks. It's titled, Wake Up, Your Life is Calling. He says his mission now is to be a human wake-up call, to convince people to live meaningful lives that don't revolve around society's definition of stress. Jesus is the ultimate wake-up call for our soul. Listen to some other statements he made about your soul. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Or do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Jesus cares about our souls because he knows that our souls are a reflection of God's image within us. So I will ask the question again. Are you weary and burdened because you are living in a way that is disconnected from your soul? That's the first thing Jesus is saying in this message. We have a soul. We are a soul. Here's the second thing we need to see. We have a Savior. We have a bridge between our soul and God. Jesus did not say, "Come to me, and all your troubles will go away." He said, "Come to me, and I will share your life. You will not be alone anymore." That's what he meant when he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Jesus lived every moment knowing that there are certain things worth living and dying for, and everything else is just noise. We have a Savior who understands what we are facing. Jesus knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be lonely and misunderstood. He knows what it's like to pour your heart and soul into a mission and not see any results. You have a Savior who chose to live as we live, as a human being, so he could show us our identity, our purpose, our strength, and our hope are not built on our circumstances. They are based on the reality of a loving God living within us. Let me tell you about a young boy named Caleb who was diagnosed with a nervous system disease that left him for a time with temporary paralysis. You can imagine how Caleb's parents ached to see their precious little boy's slow recovery from this illness. One day, Caleb's dad came to visit him at school. From a distance, he watched as 5-year-old Caleb limped across the playground. Caleb's father was heartbroken to see the other kids playing all around his son, games in which his son could not participate. But then he saw Caleb's best friend, Tyler, come up to Caleb. Tyler could have been off with the other kids, running and jumping and playing, but he chose to walk slowly alongside Caleb for the rest of recess. Tyler didn't take Caleb's burdens away. He simply walked with him and loved him in his weakness. Jesus does the same thing for us, my friends. And having that love and power freely available to us makes any burden easier to bear. Take my yoke upon you. So we have a soul and a Savior. And finally, Jesus is saying to us in this passage, we have a solution to our weariness and our burdens. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the 1960s movie Freaky Friday, a frustrated mother and her rebellious daughter suddenly change lives. The mother wakes up in her daughter's body, and vice versa. Each one had to live a few days with the priorities, responsibilities, and stresses of the other. And so each one had to learn to live as the other. So mother and daughter learned to respect and emphasize with each other because they walked in each. If Jesus came, would he have the same priorities as you do? Would he view your circumstances as you do? Would he get stressed over the things that stress you out? Why not? because Jesus looks beyond the circumstances of our lives to the greater story that a loving God is writing through us. I want to tell you about a woman named Rose who has experienced unbelievable stress in her life, stress that could put our anxieties into perspective. Rose is a woman in Rwanda who lost most of her family in the Rwandan genocide of 1994. This was a horrid conflict in which Hutu citizens of Rwanda murdered more than 800,000 Tutsi citizens in about 100 days. Rose and her two daughters survived the attacks. How could Rose deal with the shock and grief of witnessing such carnage in which she lost members of her own family? She explains it this way: "It is for this I have Jesus." Think about those words for a minute. "For this I have Jesus." Rose has adopted two additional children who were orphaned in the attacks. She supports her small family of five by translating Christian tracts into the local language and organizing an annual conference for widows. What it inspires her, as she says, "For this I have Jesus." Her heart breaks for what she has lost, but she is determined to move forward for the sake of her children. "For this I have Jesus." What other sources of peace or rest are you counting on besides Jesus? This life can take so much away from us. These days we are seeing all different kinds of perspectives on life than we saw back in January and February. And each month, each week, here in Florida, the news about the spread of COVID gets worse and throughout our whole land, urging us to examine our feelings about relationships to others continues. Change is coming, my friends. It has come, perhaps. We can continue to struggle and push it away, or continue to struggle and work towards the equality we believe God grants to all of us. And to do all that, we can affirm and contribute, even if the only contribution we can make is to wear a mask. Let us pray for peaceful egalitarianism, for the healing of those who are ill and suffering, and for the healing of our nation. Even with all the turmoil we face, there is a part of us that cannot be taken away nor changed. It's not affected by outward circumstances or by inward doubts. It's an eternal stamp on your personhood that says you were made in the image of God. That's your soul. And God loves you so much that He came in the form of Jesus to share your life and to die for you. The yoke Jesus refers to here is well illustrated by the process of training a young bullock to plow. In some parts of the world, the farmer will have the young bullock harnessed to the same yoke as a mature ox. The bullock, dwarfed by the other animal, will not even be pulling any of the weight. It is merely learning to walk in a field under control and with this yoke around his neck. The ox is pulling all of the weight. It's the same when a believer takes Christ's yoke. As the Christian learns, the yoke is easy and the burden light, because Jesus is carrying most of the load. There's a wonderful legend concerning the quiet years of Jesus, the years prior to his visible ministry. The legend claims that Jesus, the carpenter, was one of the master yoke makers in the Nazareth area. People came from miles around for a yoke hand-carved and crafted by Jesus, the son of Joseph. When customers arrived with their team of oxen, Jesus would spend considerable time measuring the team, their height, the width, the space between them, and the size of their shoulders. Within a week, the team would be brought back, and Jesus would carefully place the newly made yoke over the shoulders, watching for rough places, smoothing out the edges, and fitting them perfectly to this particular team of oxen. That is the yoke Jesus invites us to take. Do not be misled by the word easy and think it means that all will be restful with the ox bearing all the weight. The root of this word easy in Greek speaks directly of the kind of tailor-made yokes as described here in Matthew. They were well-fitted. The yoke Jesus invites us to take, the yoke that brings rest to weary souls, is the one that is made exactly to fit our lives and hearts. The yoke he invites us to wear fits as well. Do not rub us, nor it does not rub us, nor cause us to develop sore spirits, and is designed for two. His yokes were always designed for two, and our yoke partner is none other than Christ himself. Running through all the scripture, from the beginning to the end, is the theme that ours is a burden-bearing Christ. He is not just a Lord whom we burden, and we do, but the Lord who actually solicits our burdens. That's Savior. That's your Savior, for you personally. Come to him and submit your life to his guidance and his priorities, and you will find rest for your soul. That's the solution. You decide, will you live in a way that is disconnected from your soul, or will you live with the perspective and priorities of a soul that is created in the image of God? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For this we have Jesus. Amen.